Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Granddad Business with Aaron Caliber.
That's my dad.
Hello!
Underpants?
That is hilarious!
Shut your mouth, dude. Rate and review this podcast while my daddy will go into a deep depression. Going down business with Aaron Cliver.
Yeah!
Welcome to Grown Dad Business. We are well into our Grown Dad Business episodes. This week, my friend Bobcat Goldthwaite is part of the episode. Before I introduce my co-host for this week, just want to let you guys know I got some comedy coming up. Yes, I do. Comedy coming up this week. I'm in Virginia Beach. The week after that, I'm in Erie. Then I'm at home trick-or-treating. And then in November, I have dates in Reading and York, PA with Jim Brewer. And, geez, where else? I don't even remember. Anyway, December's huge, too. December, I'll be in Toronto and Ontario, California, and in Toledo for New Year's Eve. Lots of stuff going on. Also, if you like movies, check out me and Sean Collier talking about movies. HandleTheTruthPodcast.com. Our podcast for movies. I want to introduce you to my co-hosts. Of course, is my sweetie pies. It's Becca Boo and Luke the Nuke.
Hiya.
Hey guys.
Hi.
So, what did we do today? You want to talk about?
We went to dinner and went to the library.
Yeah, we did go to dinner in the library.
I went to school and I did science and reading and math.
Yeah.
All day.
So tell everybody, we sometimes when we go out to dinner, we go to the Hibachi Grill. But you guys never want to go to the Hibachi Grill. Why is that?
Because they did fires. But
very fat fires.
But the food is so good.
The food is so good, but you're afraid of the fires. Luke, are you afraid of the fires?
I'm yes, afraid of nothing.
You are afraid of the fires.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, because you're like, I
check,
don't want to go.
Check.
Boom. I bonked Luke on the head with the microphone. are you afraid of the fire at the Hibachi Grill, Becca?
A little bit.
You don't have to be afraid of the fire.
She's not even a little bit. She's not scared of anything. Nothing.
Yeah.
Ever.
Hey,
I'm
Luke.
Afraid of the dark.
Are you?
Yeah.
Really?
Just a little bit.
Nah, you're okay.
Just a tiny bit.
I'm not afraid.
Luke, can you stop just like, he's just whispering into the microphone. So guess what I'm talking about this week? My friend Bobcat.
Who's Bobcat?
He's my friend Bobcat.
That's an animal.
Yes, it is.
A bobcat is a real animal.
But this is his name, Bobcat.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
This is cool.
Nobody can hear you when you whisper like that.
A guy is like an animal.
I mean,
cool.
Kind of. Bobcat started off doing lots of comedy, some really funny comedy. And now he makes movies. And still does jokes like Daddy.
Cool.
Yeah, makes a lot of movies. I want to tell people that he does movies like one of Robin Williams' last films, World's Greatest Dad.
Ooh,
if you've seen
yay.
That. Also God Bless America, a horror
Ooh,
movie
I think
about
that's good.
A horror movie about Bigfoot called Willow Creek.
That sounds
scary.
Yeah,
sounds terrible.
It just sounds terrible to you because you're kids.
That's what I was about
well,
to say.
Well, you're not allowed to watch these movies.
Good.
Yeah, and then also an amazing documentary called Call Me Lucky. You're just going to have to look it up because I can't talk about it in front of my kids. It's about child abuse. It's or worse than that. It's bad. But very, very deep, interesting documentary. And, you know, Bobcat directed the Jimmy Kimmel Show and episodes of Chappelle Show. And he's done a lot of amazing things. And I got a chance to work with him in Fort Wayne, Indiana. It's a short podcast. It's a short podcast because we were going to do it before the shows, and then we were going to do it between the shows, and we ended up having to do it after the shows. And him and I were both coming off a long weekend. I was in Missouri. He was in Erie. So, yeah, we ended up doing about 15 minutes after the show because we were so tired after two shows. But Bobcat went right at it, man. He has some great stories. It was a blast. It was a blast. So, do you guys want to tell everybody about our sponsor? Bobcat. No, it's not Bobcat. Luke, Bobcat. Tell everybody about our sponsor, Puzzle Packs.
Puzzle Packs, DRS, indicated to puzzlepacks.com.
Okay, what? Did you just try to spell Puzzle Packs? Luke, how do you spell Puzzle Packs?
DRS.
No, it's not DRS.
F-A-R-T.
No, it's not. Puzzle Packs is spelled Packs with an X, PUZZLEPAX.com. It's a fold-up six-pack holder for beers or beverages.
Yes, like water, beer, something.
Chocolate milk?
Yeah, sure. You can put six chocolate milks in there. They also have a four-pack for wine bottles. And also, on the side of the fold-up pack is a bottle opener. It is American-made, and it's a veteran-owned company. What's veterans, Luke?
DOS.
No, what are veterans?
That's like
soldiers.
That's like soldier flags that they used to fight the war in with lighting.
Soldier facts?
Yeah.
Okay. They used to. Okay, thanks. Okay. Yeah, thanks.
They used to fight with video games.
No, that doesn't make any sense. No.
Yeah.
Veterans.
My dad
are,
has one. Like
I do have
that.
A video game, but there are real soldiers that. But anyway, puzzlepacks.com. You could check out one of these cool products, essential must have dad product. You put in coupon code Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, you save some money. They're losing their minds right now. We're going to get to the podcast with Bobcat Goldthwait. I love you guys. Say bye. Say bye, you goofballs.
Bye.
Bye, everyone. Bobcat Goldthwait. Boom. Grown Dad Business, guys. I'm here with Bobcat Goldthwait.
with Bob Scratch Gold Farm, yeah.
Bob Scratch Gold Farm. No, man, I'm happy to see you.
Yeah, we're old friends.
And, fun times.
Yeah. So the gist of this, we talk about being a dad and talking about growing up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. Oh, we're good.
I'm on? All right. So, my old man was super funny and odd. And I would like to say he did almost performance art, but most of it was fueled by Budweiser. So he would do stuff like have all the neighborhood kids over and tell them that he was going to jump off the top of the refrigerator into a jar of mayonnaise.
This is the best.
And he would wear a crash helmet and put a cape on.
Really?
Yeah. Everybody would just be screaming because he would climb on the top of it. And then there was always something that would screw up. Like he'd go, oh, that's Hellman's. It won't work with Hellman's.
Dude, that's hilarious.
Yeah, he did that kind of stuff. He took a dirt bike. And it was during when Evel Knievel was the rage.
Yeah.
And he built a ramp that was going to go over our above ground pool. And Evel Knievel would take the bike up to the top of the ramp, back and forth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's how he used to do it to get the crowd all nuts.
Yeah.
And my old man was doing it, but what he was doing was running the bike out of gas. So,
dude, how? he was committed.
Oh yeah,
good bits.
Yeah, and I think his commitment truly did influence me because that was you'd just be weird and be really serious.
Yeah, and you like odd stuff.
Yeah, making people feel terrified and awkward. Yeah. So yeah, that's what the old man did. And then later in life, he ended up doing magic, and he did have a bad patch where he was mostly props.
Yeah,
and he'd do it at senior citizens' homes and kids' parties.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite things was he had a jack in the box that then the bottom would fall out, and the jack in the box was on a noose, and he had a note that said, "I couldn't take that song anymore."
Dude, I can't believe he was that funny. I never knew that.
Well, he was really, it was really, that was, my dad was bigger than life doing that weird stuff, and then my mother was really sarcastic, so I think I'm definitely a hybrid of the two of them, yeah.
And, dude, I did not know, too. Like, you started doing comedy at, like, 15, but yeah. Now it's like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That you didn't even start it earlier. I mean...
Yeah, and we did do Tom Kenny, who's the voice of SpongeBob.
Yeah.
He and I met when we were in first grade.
Yeah, you guys go way back.
Yeah, there was a nun that I made cry. I don't ever remember what I said, but she... was crying, and she dragged me into his classroom and then just left me in his room, and I was crying, and he just thought it was really cool that I could make a grown nun cry, so he introduced himself at lunch. I do remember him coming up and saying hi.
Wow.
Because he doesn't look much different.
And when you first started, what were you doing?
You know, so, sorry, but you know what's funny?
No, go.
The first impression of meeting Tom Kenny, who's my lifelong friend, was, oh, man, I feel bad for this guy. Because he was really skinny and he had glasses. That just gives you an idea of my... I was a fat butterball. We were the worst athletes. There was a girl who had two hooks for arms, and she would get picked in front of us when they were making teams. They really would. And Tommy and I were just talking about this, and he goes, yeah, when they did that, I realized I would be terrible at sports for the rest of my life. And I go, really? Because when that happened to me, I thought, oh... they know that we can handle this, so they're just letting her go first.
It's funny that you guys connected where he was like the scrawny kid and you were the chubby kid.
Yeah, yeah. It's we looked like a comedy team, even though we weren't like, we didn't perform together too much. But yeah, we just encouraged each other.
You guys were for a minute, right?
We would do sketch comedy together.
Yeah.
And we still do. You know, Tommy always shows up one way or another in the movies I make in small parts and stuff.
Yeah.
My dream is to do a film with him as a lead.
Yeah, I love that little, those little like Easter eggs because I always read the trivia for every movie I watch.
Oh, cool.
And I love finding that stuff because I love movies. And I was just going to ask you when you were that young, were you doing kind of stuff from your dad? Like what were you doing? Were you doing straight stand up?
No, it wasn't straight stand up. The earliest stand up was very odd and it wasn't the persona that I ended up being known for, but I would be, you know, reading a Dear John letter and then crying. Yeah. And then go, my wife is so fat. You know, how fat is she? I told you I don't even have a girlfriend. You know, so it was always just weird stuff like that.
But it's interesting that like your Bobcat persona, it's a sketch character.
Yeah, what's even weirder is that the first time I did it on stage, it wasn't a guy doing stand-up. It was a guy who had seen Bigfoot and was terrified and nervous and trembling and screaming and...
So that was his fearful voice.
Yeah, which is weird because then I went out and made a Bigfoot movie. So it's really weird that it's all circular.
Which I have to see.
Oh, okay.
I have to see Willow Creek.
It's a scary Bigfoot movie. You know?
I love horror movies.
Oh, good.
I don't like reading stuff about it.
Yeah.
Because I just like to, you know.
It's more a suspense, you know. I was seeing if I could scare people. Because I always love, like, in Tarantino movies when there's not much going on, but you're at the edge of your seat. You
Everything
know?
You're saying is, I agree with 100%.
Yeah.
That's why I love John Carpenter.
Yeah. And I realized when I did God Bless America that I only there's only two scenes where you're kind of wondering what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see if I could scare people and put some suspense and stuff.
Which are, you know, I try to talk about, you know, dad stuff, but I can't help but talk about, like, your movies. It's funny because, like, people are like, oh, Bobcat's coming, like, and you talk about it on stage. It's hilarious because people are like, oh, he's still doing stand-up? Like, that's cool.
Yeah.
And they're like, what's he doing? And then, like, you know, I'm a fan of yours. I like you as a friend. You know, and I'm like, Bobcat has done this, this, this. And they're like, he did those?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, man.
It's weird.
But it's exciting. I mean, I love that.
I like that, you know, doing stand-up affords me to go out and make these tiny movies on my own terms.
Sure.
So even when I have a bad gig, I'm always like going, you know, well, this prevents me from, you know, doing Paul Blart 3 or something, you know.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah.
So a bad day at stand-up is still better than a horrible day at a studio.
For sure. Yeah. You, you know, I always like talking to guys that have kids.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm still a young dad, a young comic.
Well, you know, the
trying to figure it out.
The weird byproduct, you know, my daughter and I, she grew up around comedy. She would come on the road with me, you know, she would.
I've seen pictures.
Yeah. And it was like Paper Moon or something, her and I traveling around. But the thing I didn't expect that would happen is that my daughter and I would be friends, you know?
Yeah.
You raise a kid and you just, I didn't want to be the cool dad. I wanted to be a dad, you mm-hmm. know? And I think a lot of parents go out of their way they worry about what their kids think about them. And I right. never worried about that. And the byproduct as an adult, now my daughter, I'm renting a house and she rents the guest house.
Yeah.
So it's crazy, you know, it's insane that my daughter wanted to live with me, you know. It's
no, cool. I think that's awesome. And it's just, you always think that, like, I guess people have that idea of like, oh, kids, you know, with comedians and stuff, they're all going to be all messed up. And you
right.
know. But that's interesting you hear that, like, yeah, you didn't want to be the cool dad.
No, I didn't.
My wife and I think it's super important.
Yeah, and people, you know, so, and just being there, you know, and our schedules are impossible, but I think the emphasis is if you're present when you're with them, and they need to know that they do come first, you know, and that these are, you know, like, and my daughter knows that there was no gig or anything that was more important than her.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really encouraging to hear. I mean, but, you know, I'm at a point now where, like, I have three kids and my wife's at home.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's one of those things that.
Yeah, I have a buddy who has two kids and he's, you know, he says, you know, the only time he's on stage is when he has any peace, you know. He's
yes.
It's so funny. It's like, it's where.
It's 100% true.
It's the thing that most people think is the most stressful thing. And then you get up there and you go,
Yeah, or when people are like,
"This is all I have
to
do.
Are you being on the road? Is that hard?" And I'm like, "I'm in a hotel room by myself, and I can watch any Netflix I want."
Yeah, well, I think it's funny that my I have roommates, which is funny. 53 with roommates, it's all coming together. But my roommates are really funny because Caitlin Gill's a comedian, and she'll be like, "Hey, the award-winning filmmaker's home. Can you bring the recycling tubs back in from the street?" You know? Award-winning filmmaker.
I try to be careful of. I love hearing you say that about just being present, because right now I'm practicing that I'm home for holidays and birthdays.
Yeah,
like I have to be.
Yeah,
and there's no like it. Just if I start early doing that.
Yeah, you know it's funny as you get older, but it's not about kids, but I missed a few weddings over the years and of people I'm close to, and that's the one I do now too. It's like I whenever a friend's getting married, I make sure I'm there no matter what.
Wow, I'm learning some real grown dad business.
Well, that stuff is, yeah. You know, my daughter, like I told the story tonight, you know, when her and I were coloring and I had smashed up the Arsenio Hall show and it was on the news and she was like 6 years old and she goes, "Sometimes you act like you don't have a brain in your head." And I go, "Well, it's just comedy." She's like, "If it was just comedy, it wouldn't be on the news." You know, her best friend was Lily Idol, still is Eric Idol's daughter. And he's like, you know, Lily's dad's not on the news, you know.
Yeah, so, right.
Thank you.
Oh, hi. It's. Do you think that, I mean, yeah, I always, it really, I'm trying to frame what I'm trying to say. It's really encouraging to hear you say that because I'm always thinking like, oh man, my kids are growing up in showbiz. They're going to be so messed up. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well,
even though we do a good job, I think we're all right.
But I mean, they're doomed anyways. So I think, yeah, it was funny to, you know, as my daughter grew up, not to ruin things for her. When I was directing the Jimmy Kimmel show, she really wanted to see Sonic Youth, and they came and performed, and she came to the show, and then as they walked off stage, they were like, "Hey, Bobcat, how's it going?" And she's like, "You know Sonic Youth?" And I was like, "Yeah." She goes, "Why didn't you tell me?" I go, "Because it was your thing. You wouldn't like it if it was your dad's friends.
Yeah.
I would have ruined it."
Yeah. That's interesting because I always think about that, like, don't be the funny guy to your...
Oh my God! Yeah,
your kids' friends.
Yeah, and I know some comedians that I'm not going to out whose adult children were messed up by their dad, like having to be the focus. You know,
that is man, you're like touching my heart right now. That's I really like hearing that.
Yeah, because I think you know you can't be and my daughter really did grow up with comedians like
oh yeah, like I said, I've seen photos. Yeah. Just of you back in the day and your little girls running around.
Oh, yeah. She grew up in comedy clubs. I won't even mention the names. It was really funny. By the time she was 12, she would tell you, she's like, I can't watch that guy. He's a hack.
That's the best.
It was really funny. Yeah, yeah.
That's
I don't want to make anyone feel bad, but yeah, yeah.
Yeah, really I'm at a point now where I'm trying to teach my son, like, you know, it's like, hey, buddy, farts are not always funny. Like, relax.
Yeah, well, you know, and most of her friends were kids who had comedians for parents and stuff. So
yeah,
so she had a support group, I guess, to help her.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, I think it's like I said, you know, just being present when you're around them. And then, you know, often, like I said, my daughter would go on the road with me a lot when she was a kid.
Yeah. I mean, I've taken my kids to certain places, you know, my wife and kids, and we have a good time, and I feel good where we're at now because my kids know that daddy does jokes and makes people happy, like makes people laugh. And that's pretty neat.
Well, that's fortunate for you. My daughter just saw her dad really freak out people. And she thought that was comedy.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Well, dude, I just want to talk real quick.
It's great to see you.
It's late. We just did two shows. You did a whole weekend of shows.
Yeah.
I figured, man, I got to talk about Bobcat. I mean, you got a kid in show business.
Yeah,
your
and
dad.
It doesn't end. I mean, I'm texting with her right now, and, you know, she wants to know how the show went. I was like, first show, but the second show.
And then tomorrow morning, I have to FaceTime my kids, and my son's going to lick the phone and, like, scream at me and, like, start dancing in his underwear because he's hilarious.
Well, that's good.
And, the intro of this podcast will be me and my 5-year-old son.
Oh, good.
Like, he's my co-host.
Oh, good. Well, you know, it doesn't skip a generation. There's a lot of comics that have, you know, my friend Tony V's son is really brilliant and stuff, but
yeah.
Cool, man.
Oh, and I always tell them, they're going to, Luke and Becca... This is the guy from Hercules.
Oh, wow. Oh,
I always tell them, like, that's my friend Bobcat. And they're like, do you know him? I'm like, no, not the cartoon, but they don't get it.
Hey, get the purple guy come
yeah,
over?
Yeah, yeah, right.
Not
I know.
Not the grumpy 53-year-old
guy. That's
exciting.
Yeah, cool. I know. But
well, thanks.
Thanks, dude.
Thank you.
All right.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.